Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. I am so grateful that you have chosen to spend the next hour with us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne on this beautiful May 15th of 2014. I am here in my studio in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and I am sitting here overlooking the Jemez Mountains today. It's a beautiful, sunny day here in New Mexico. Gentle clouds are in the sky, and I am very, very excited to bring this amazing topic and my guest to you today. I am one of over 25 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come to you each week, each day, actually. We have shows on one of three of our networks, Life Coach Radio Network, which you are currently listening to right now, as well as International Life Coach Radio Network, and the Life Coach Chat Channel. And I've had the privilege, actually, of being on all three of the different networks that we have here on Life Coach Radio Network. And we do come to you each day, at least once a day, with challenging, inspiring shows from each one of our life coaches. And we really are here to be of service to you. And I just invite you to visit us on our Life Coach Radio Network page, as well as Facebook and Twitter, LinkedIn. All of us coaches are sprinkled all over the internet here to provide service and encouragement to each one of you. And I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach with Legacy Now Lived. And my passion and my desire is really to empower and educate and inspire each of you who have been impacted by the tapestry of adoption. You know, I really am a team builder. My desire is to bring together the different voices within the tapestry of adoption, joining together the three unique threads in that tapestry who are really kind of tired of living in the adoption closet and hiding their authentic selves. And, you know, if we join together and we bring our voices together in symphony, we can discover and change the way we do and view adoption and bring dignity and conscious choice and connection back into this world. And that's, I'm super excited today. For those of you who have been tuning in for the last several months while I've been live on the air, you know that I strive to walk my talk, and I love to pay attention to the world around me and see who else in my sphere is really walking their talk and living the life that they were created to live. And I'm very privileged today to be joined by one such woman, and her name is Colleen, and she's going to go live here with me in just a moment. And I just want to encourage each one of you to really listen in, tune in today. We've got a really great show for you today. We are going to be talking about the tapestry of adoption. It's definitely one of my passions. For those of you who are new to my show, I am an adoptee, and I have been in reunion for, golly, almost half of my life. I'm actually 1 year shy of being in reunion with my biological family by 1 year, and I've been really privileged to have that experience. And so without any further ado, I do want to welcome Colleen to my show today. And Colleen is the Director of Outreach in San Francisco Bay Area with Bethany Christian Services, and she's the author of A Gift for Little Tree, a parable about apples, adoption, and love. And I had the privilege of meeting Colleen when I was in San Francisco for the AAC conference here back just a month ago, and was really privileged to be able to give her a real personal hug and a lovely conversation with her. Colleen speaks to churches, pregnancy centers, schools, hospitals, and peaceful pro-life ministries and women's health care clinics to provide adoption education and support for women, children, and families. She's a grateful mom of two children that she and her husband adopted 19 and 10 years ago after many years of infertility. She and her family are best blessed through open adoption with both of their children's birth families. Colleen is personally and professionally passionate about finding ways to help the culture embrace adoption as a loving option, both for unplanned pregnancy and infertility. Her first children's book, which we are going to talk about today, A Gift for Little Tree, is a beautiful story that changed her own heart about adoption 20 years ago and was recently published and released in January 2014. So welcome, Colleen, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Leanne. This is a privilege to be on live with you. Thank you.
Absolutely, and thank you. And it's a privilege to be live here with you today. You know, I just want to say, how is it in San Francisco today? Is it as beautiful as the week I was there last month?
Oh, it's hot today. I'm hoping that it is not as hot as it was yesterday, but we're going through a little bit of a heat wave, and so I'm hiding in the coolness of my home, hoping that it'll stay cool for a little longer, certainly while we're talking.
Beautiful. Well, great. And again, thank you for joining me here today. You know, Colleen, from the first time that I ever got a glimpse into your life and the moment that we met at the AAC conference, I have just been so incredibly honored to have conversation with you. And every time we speak, my heart is so encouraged by the words that we share with each other, and, you know, very much looking forward to today. I understand that when I first met you at the AAC conference live, that was your first conference as well.
Yeah, I had never gone to the conference before, but since the national conference was in San Francisco, I thought I need to go, and I'm really glad that I did. It was definitely a rich experience for me and very sobering experience as well. So I was prepared for it, but I learned so much. The experience of being there with so many people who had very passionate concerns and hurts and feelings about their adoption stories was just very moving to me, and I will remember that always. So it was great, and what a treasure to meet you there, too, on your first time.
It was my first time, and, you know, I have the same fond feeling. And listeners, for those of you who don't know what the AAC is, I wanted to just fill you in. It's the American Adoption Congress, and it was their international convention that they have, and it was hosted in San Francisco this past year. And, you know, I was really encouraged, Colleen. That was the first time, actually, that I was ever at a conference, an adoption conference, for one, as well as being surrounded by so many beautiful souls. Each had an incredible voice within what I like to call the tapestry of adoption. There was birth moms, first moms, adoptive families. There was many adoptees. There was also people who had been their children, adults now, that had been conceived through in vitro, all kinds of different relationships with adoption were represented at this conference, and to really be in rooms and in conversation, in support groups with such an amazing population of people was real encouraging to my heart as well. And, and there I also had the privilege of meeting you and being able to share conversation, and that really birthed our time together today. I think both you and I realized how much our hearts beat in a similar way for this community that we walk in.
I agree. I've had the privilege of going to other adoption-related conferences where many times the focus and the emphasis is on the adoptive families hopeful to adopt or traveling the journey of adoption, so from the adoptive families' perspective. But this was definitely a different, I think it was more of a different venue or a different collection of people who were touched, who are touched by adoption, and more of those adult adoptees who were looking for their birth families, more of those birth parents and birth moms, that first moms that had experienced surrendering their child to adoption during baby scoop era. A lot of I noticed there was a lot of discussion about sealed birth records and some of the things that adoptive families today don't really hear a lot about, and yet these are issues and realities that point to the loss that is in adoption, that is real. And I came away from that experience feeling very somber and sobered and respectful and honoring of the loss that is involved with adoption. And it just resonated with me deep in my heart that if we are to be working in the area of adoption, if we are to be raising children through adoption as adoptive families and people, professionals working in the adoption, that we need to be very respectful and we need to hear the voices that are hurting, because it's not all just happy, happy, joy, joy. Adoption is definitely a way of building a family that's built on loss. So there's that part of it that until we respect that and understand it, I don't know that we can really do it with best practices. We can't really walk in this path with best practices until we really take a look and figure out what are the pain points that we and what can we do about these. So anyway, this is sort of a new area for me to be exploring in a very special way. So yeah, a lot of good stuff.
A lot of good stuff, and I just, yeah, totally want to echo what you shared. You know, I think being an adoptee, almost 50 years of age, I'll just throw it out there because that's just who I am. I'm walking my talk right with you, right?
Go,
and
girl.
When I look back, yeah, there you go. When I look back over the last 50 years, I think I have been extremely fortunate in my journey because I have been in reunion for almost half my life. I have had a copy of my original birth certificate, golly, for almost 20 years. I've had it in my hand.
Wow.
And, you know, I was, yeah, which is incredibly rare in the community that we live in. And I think it was definitely not as real to me all of these years until I was at the conference. And I got to hear and experience what a lot of my fellow adoptee brothers and sisters, right, that we walk through.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an eye-opener for me in a lot of ways as well. I've always had a tremendous amount of empathy and compassion for all the threads in the tapestry, but I think
mm-hmm.
it's at a whole new level now after really, you know, kind of walking shoulder to shoulder with them in a real intimate way. For it was
yeah.
a game changer for me, and I was really grateful to be able to do that. And, you know, many shows that I will have on Walk Your Talk with Leanne will be birthed out of my experience at the AAC. And, you know, I've already had a couple people on and will continue to, like Claudia, she was on. We talked about the adoption closet here just
right.
a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I had the President Pam on before
mm-hmm.
I even went to the conference, newly in my radio ministry. And so it was really, it's been an amazing journey, hasn't it? And I think as we continue to learn more and speak about it and use our voices, it does help to raise some awareness. And I know
right.
a lot of my listeners, people in my sphere of influence, they just really don't get the big picture of really what the tapestry of adoption looks like. And, you know, that's why I wanted to have you on today, Colleen, and have you share a little bit about your story and your journey through adoption.
Oh, thank
and
you.
So, you're welcome. And so, Colleen, please share with us. Actually, before I ask this question, I want to provide our listeners with a call-in number. If you have questions, thoughts, or comments for either Colleen or myself, please feel free to call in at 646-716-9397, and we will open up the line to you. And I welcome your calls. And so, Colleen, I would love to know if you would please share with each one of us how you came in to the tapestry of adoption.
Well, thank you for that long introduction that you gave about how I work in the area of adoption, but I haven't always worked in adoption. I've only been working with Bethany for 3.5 years. I come to adoption because I wanted to be a mom more than anything. And when my husband and I were first married, we gave it a year of just being married before we started trying to have a baby. And I didn't realize how difficult that was going to be. I actually thought that if you put your mind to something, you can accomplish anything. At least I felt like I could do that. And when we didn't conceive right away, I started thinking, wait a minute, this is outside of my control. And indeed, it took 4.5 years of infertility before I was at the end of myself long before the 4.5 years, but I was never a fan of adoption. I never thought about adoption. I gathered people around me, a small group of women, friends who all also wanted to conceive, and one by one, each of these women became pregnant and started their family, and our little group was getting smaller and smaller until finally there was only one more friend that I had who had infertility, and she had been 8 years into the process. And when she and her husband came to the decision to stop the medical interventions, they decided to pursue adoption. Very shortly after they made that decision, they got matched with a little boy, and they adopted this little guy into their lives, into their hearts, and they were a family. So I was left with this beautiful opportunity to bless them with a gift, and I couldn't go into a baby store because I was still grieving my own losses, and I celebrated her truly, truly. I never thought adoption was for me, but I greatly honored what she was doing. I was actually, for the very first time, celebrating with somebody who had resolved their infertility through adoption. And I went to this nursery to find a little rose bush and instead found an apple tree that was a grafted apple tree. And I'd never seen one before. Have you ever seen one of those before, Leanne?
No, I haven't. I haven't, and I wasn't very acquainted. I have three apple trees in my yard right now, and they all basically grow the same kind of apples as each other.
Right, how boring, right? That's boring.
How
you
boring
have just an
that?
Apple tree with one kind of fruit on it? That's so boring. Actually, I had never seen this before, but there was an apple tree at this store that had three different kinds of apples. It had a red kind of apple and a yellow and a green apple. I don't remember the varieties, but I remember the colors. And I was really intrigued, and I said to the guy there, what in the world is this tree? This is so strange. And he said, oh, yeah, the grower actually grafts the tree to be like this so that it can have different varieties of fruit on the same tree. So I was really intrigued by that, and I said, that is an adoption tree. That is so beautiful. I just saw the symbolism, and it just resounded in my heart. And so I bought the tree thinking this is a perfect adoption gift, and I brought it home, and I showed it to my husband, and he was amused, saying that it really isn't a baby gift, but, yeah, I can see what you mean. It's really cute. He's a big shout-out to my husband who lets me have creative inspiration, and he just kind of nods in his way and supports me. But in the middle of the night, I woke up with this inspiration of a story that was birthed from seeing this tree. And the inspiration was the story of a little apple tree that couldn't bear fruit, which I related to, and how this tree asked the farmer to help with what is she here for, and if she can't make apples, and how the farmer listened to her and was able to use his wisdom and his knowledge about grafting and trees, and he grafted from other trees, from another tree, a little growth bud onto her branch that would enable her to grow apples on her own branches. So I wrote the story out. I got up in the middle of the night, I wrote the story out, and I got to this part in the story. It was like the story wrote itself in a way, because it was definitely an inspired thing. And I got to the part in the story where I wrote, from the moment the farmer grafted the bud onto her limb, she loved it as her own. Well, I wrote that because that's what made sense. That's what the story was supposed to say. And I didn't really believe it, though, because that was my stumbling block with adoption. I never really thought that I could love a baby that didn't come from our own family tree. So I wrote it, and I struggled with it, and I rewrote that sentence over and over throughout the night. And by the end of the night, when my husband woke up to find me in the pile of papers, and he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I just wrote this story, and I think that we're supposed to adopt. And so that was, for me, a very pivotal moment for me. Writing this story was a catalyst to my heart changing, that God came into that moment for me and used this creative inspiration and this vision, this visual example of what adoption looks like in nature to change my own heart And I believed it. I got it for the very first time. And the miracle for me, beyond the story and the changing of my heart, was that 11 months later, my husband and I did adopt our first child, our daughter. And from the moment that she was grafted into our lives, we loved her as our own. And it was a prophetic thing. That story was actually true. So that's the story behind the story. Now, that was 20 years ago. I wrote the story in 1994, and our daughter is 19, almost 19 and a half. So it was around this time that she had just recently been conceived and born in December of 1994. And then our son, who came 8.5 years after she was born, we adopted him as well, and he is now 10 years old. So that's our story.
Wow, how beautiful. Thank you so much for giving us a peek into, you know, kind of the inception of when all of this began, kind of those birthing moments.
Right.
Your step into the tapestry of adoption and that grafting, what a beautiful piece. And I really hear coming from you that you really yielded your heart, that, you know, you share at the beginning of your story, Colleen, that you really didn't have a lot of relationship with adoption before the story came. Before you walked into it, you weren't that acquainted with it, that familiar. You weren't really bought in to the whole process.
No, in fact, it's interesting. Life is so interesting because I started out thinking about adoption I only saw pain and loss in adoption. I couldn't see the joy. I couldn't grab a hold of the possibility of joy. And then I walked through the next phase where I saw the joy, and I acknowledged some of the pain, but I kind of also pushed it away because I had become a mom. And although we walked and continue to walk the path of open adoption, I have to say, if I'm really honest, I knew that I couldn't, it's very hard to walk joy and the pain at the same time. It's very, very delicate. So we would keep in contact, we have kept in contact and have a beautiful open relationships with both of our children's birth families. And I have, from the very beginning, had a great deal of respect and love and compassion for them. And just, I don't know, I will never know the experience of loss that is theirs in their path. But I can say that through the years, and even in the work that I'm doing now, God is bringing me back to in a fresh way, to the grief and the loss and the honor. I think just not wanting to get caught up into the happy, happy, joy, joy part of adoption that is truly a part of the journey. The beautiful grafted tree is lovely and beautiful and a miracle. And it's just a wonderful way of God providing family and community. But it's not without the grief and the loss and the honoring of that. And it's creating in me a soft and tender place back in my heart. So anyway, it's a real interesting season for me to be. I feel like I'm drinking the image this morning as I was talking with you this morning, Leanne, was just, I feel like with the recent loss of my mom earlier this year, I'm walking my own journey of grief and loss in my own way with my mother. And so motherhood and loss is kind of combined right now. And I feel like I'm eating like this sipping salty soup of sorrow at this table. And I'm looking up to see who else is there eating a soup of sorrow. And this is the season that I went to that adoption congress. And I saw other people who were at that table drinking that soup of tears. And so my heart is really tender. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it absolutely makes beautiful sense. And I so am at the table with you. And, you know, as I'm hearing you share some things are really coming up for me. And, you know, for one, I really, you know, you have entered into a real, you know, intimate conversation with me, and I really appreciate your honesty and integrity as you are choosing, you know, to walk your talk with me here live on the air. And, you know, what an amazing blessing and a gift that you are giving me as an adoptee, right, to be able to hear your heart and to experience your journey with you. Because just as you shared, we can say we understand. We can say, oh, yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. But until we have really walked a mile in somebody, you know, until we really have experienced, until we have experienced infertility, until we have experienced creating an adoption plan, until we have experienced losing our child to adoption or, you know, a willing, I hate to use the word relinquishment, but that's kind of, you know, those are all the different terminologies that are floating around in the tapestry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of this stuff, until we walk it, until you are an adoptee, you really don't get it. And I think by providing opportunities like my radio show, like writing a children's book, and I don't even look at your book as a children's book. You know, for me, I'm almost 50 years old. You gifted me with a copy of your book at the AAC conference. You know, I've read it a few times through, and there are so many pieces and parts of your story in A Gift for Little Tree that really resonated with me. And I thought, wow, here you are. This story was written 20 years ago out of inspiration of your love for your friend. And I really understand and really heard you when you shared about that common or that place of pain and loss and joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here you were trying to celebrate with your friend, right, but still experiencing that loss.
Yes.
And being able to, you know, grieve your own journey as well as celebrating with your friend. And I think that's a line that adoptees, that is a line or a, we'll call it, that could be part of the orchard, you know, referring it back to your book, that each one of us within the tapestry of adoption, we've all walked in that orchard. We've all walked in that grief and that loss and that joy. And I kind of call it that sacred space. I think I had shared that with you before, that it's sacred. And if we look at the other side of that and we mix up those letters a little bit, the same letters that are in the word sacred are in the word scared. And I think each one of us within the tapestry has experienced that fear as well as that joy, that insecurity as well as that calling and that desire, right, to be the best mom we can be, to have those dreams and experiences open to us. And so I would love
I'd be curious, Leanne, what part
ahead,
of that story is, you know, as I wrote this for my friend with infertility and who celebrated adoption, and I'm so interested to know your perspective as someone who was adopted, how that touched you, was there any part of the book that resonated for you? I'd like to know how that sounds from your perspective, if that's not too much of a left field question.
No, it's not at all. And, you know, I'm really actually honored that you asked that question. You know, when I read your book and I picked it up, I've read several books on adoption. I've read a couple children's books on adoption over the years. And, you know, I think one thing that really stood out to me in your book was in the center of your book. And this is, if it's okay, I'm going to read a page that is in the center of your book. The illustrations in here are absolutely beautiful. And the page that I'm sitting looking at right now, there's the different color apple trees in the orchard that I'm looking at. There's a couple of birds peeking down. There is a squirrel peeking down. There's a ladder. There's a wheelbarrow underneath the tree. So that's the page I'm looking at. And the wording on the page goes like this. One day when the farmer lingered longer than usual in the orchard, Little Tree rustled her leaves to catch his attention. Farmer, she asked, why am I here if I can't grow apples? What am I to do? The farmer reached out to touch her smallest branch. I am the one who planted you, Little Tree, he said. I have not forgotten you. With this, Little Tree lifted her branches a bit higher. And, you know, I'm looking at this, Colleen, this page. And when I read this the first time, I had to go back and read it a couple of times. And it really resonated with me as an adoptee when I think of that the farmer lingered longer. You know, I am a woman of faith. I love my God, and I really have trusted him and given my life over in service to him. And, you know, many times throughout my life growing up, I often wondered, why am I here? What is my purpose? I don't really get it. God, you had my life saved and preserved, and you gifted me with many families, lots of love, but I didn't quite get why I was here. And when I look at this and I think about the farmer lingering longer, I thought, wow, that is really how God has been in my life. You know, my passion is, you know, to walk my talk and encourage others to do the same in their own lives. And in my legacy now lived, I think oftentimes about the legacy that I want to leave and asking myself on a regular basis, am I living that today or am I not? And when I think about that farmer lingering longer, really realizing that I've never walked alone, that never once in my life have I ever truly been an orphan, never once in my life have I not had a family that loves me because of who I am in him. And when you ask the question in the book, or when Little Tree asks Farmer, why am I here if I can't grow apples? What am I to do? And when the farmer reaches out and says, I'm the one who planted you, Little Tree, I've not forgotten you. And I think oftentimes as adoptees, we can feel forgotten, we can feel lost. And I think each member of the tapestry of adoption can kind of have that same feeling. But for me, sometimes I need to ruffle my branches a little bit. I need my voice to be heard. And for many, many years, I didn't feel that I was at a safe or free place to ask the questions that were burning in my heart. And, you know, now I feel like through my own journey, I have been able to free up my voice and to start asking those questions and really having ears to listen to other people ask those questions too. So I think for each one of us to remember that I have never been forgotten is very, very huge for me. And I think for adoptees, that is one of the things that keep us up at night. Is wondering if our first mom still remember us. And I think, and do they think about us? Do they wonder if we're okay? And the more first moms that I have the privilege of getting to know, as well as my own first mom, which I'm incredibly privileged to be in relationship with, those questions never do go away. And I think each one of us, that's such a validation and an acknowledgement piece of our own grief and loss that's so incredibly important. And so that's, you know, that's one part of your beautiful book that really resonated with me. And, you know, looking at those little birds, looking down at the farmer, and the farmer is pruning and loving on this tree that kind of feels a little bit alone and isolated because it looks different. Mm-hmm. And it's not producing what everybody around it is. And I think, you know, that definitely comes up a lot for us as adoptees as well, because we do look different. We respond. The lens that we choose to look at the world through is different, right, than some of our closest friends that walk it with us. So thanks for that question.
Well, thank you for that, because I really haven't asked that question of many people who are not adoptive families. Most of the people that I have shared this book with are people that have been touched by adoption and through the infertility path, you know. My children, of course, they give me wonderful feedback because this is their story and the story about our own, you know, that this is our orchard. I say in the very front of the book that this is our orchard. And so they love it because this is our family story. But I haven't really spoken with many people who were adopted about how they felt about or what touched them about the book. So thank you for that. That was a real gift.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome. Well, now I have a question for you.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead and ask the question, and then I'm going to do a little commercial break, give you a chance to take a drink of water, gather your thoughts, and then we'll come back and give you an opportunity to answer this question. But, you know, I'm thinking, Colleen, this has been 20 years since you were given the inspiration for this book. It took 20 years for you to see this whole story come into publication and be released in January. And
yes.
I would love to know, what are some of the lessons that you have learned in the last 20 years since you birthed this story? So go ahead and gather your thoughts here for just a moment, and we'll come back to that in just a second, okay? Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, perfect. Again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach on Life Coach Radio Networks, and I am so incredibly privileged that you have chosen to spend this time with us here today on May 15th as we chat about, again, the beautiful tapestry of adoption. And I am talking with Colleen today about her book, A Gift for Little Tree. I want to tell you about some upcoming shows that we have here on Life Coach Radio Networks. So you can tune in if you so choose to. I'd like to invite you to tune in on 5/16, which is tomorrow. Join Coach Mandy as she talks about training your brain and upping your game at 12 o'clock Eastern Time. You can find her here on Life Coach Radio Network. Also on the 18th of May, I invite you to join Coach Life and Business Coach Mark Shaw as he presents his show to you, called Mark My Words, and it also is at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And then on 5/20, I'd like to invite you to join host Danielle Mercurio with the New You City Chat here on Life Coach Radio Network. I will be on again on June 15th and here on Life Coach Radio Network's Walk Your Talk with Leanne, and I'm going to be interviewing on the 5th of June Dr. Doug Weiss from the Heart to Heart Counseling Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we're going to be talking about intimacy anorexia. That might be a new term for some of you. It's a term that I've been incredibly interested in. I've been doing some studying in this area for the last, 2.5 years or so, and really learning about what that means. And I am asking him how intimacy anorexia could show up in the heart and tapestry of adoption. And so we are going to be addressing that issue on June the 5th. So I do invite you to mark your calendars for that time that I will have with Dr. Douglas Weiss here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And so also I want to repeat our phone number. If you would like to call in and speak with either Colleen or myself, I invite you to call 646-716-9397 and join us here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And so, Colleen, I hope that you were able to gather your thoughts and take a deep breath and are prepared to answer that question. I am very curious to know.
Yeah, it's a huge question. And, you know, I was just thinking about that the other day, because it's funny, you know, this story that I wrote, Gift for Little Tree, was written by this woman, me, 20 years ago, who I was a totally different person. I was writing before I was a mother, so I wrote the story before I was a mother, and now our daughter is 19, almost 19 and a half, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, there's a lot of, it's like this book actually was written by a different person than who I am now, even though it stands alone itself as a, it's like a stake in the ground kind of a thing, or a stick in the ground. It's definitely a place of my journey. But what I have learned in the 20 years, I guess the first thing that I learned was that I mentioned before that when our children were placed into our arms, that it truly is a reality that, our children are completely, totally, and 100% loved, as I can't imagine loving them any more than if they had come from us biologically. So that is something that I learned immediately that I didn't know. I only thought that I knew. And I think that it's because love is truly a decision. It's a choice. And adoption is a living example of that, I think. That and God does something really remarkable in how that bond, I don't know, there was just something very amazing and miraculous about that that I got to learn. Another thing I think I've learned is is that children are not cut flowers. They're not just for me to go out into the garden and cut them and put them in our vase and enjoy in our home. They're not just for adornment. And I knew that I wanted to be a mom more than anything. And so it was, at first, I think my motherhood was about me. I know she's friends with you too. Rebecca Valle has talks mm-hmm. about filling the crib. You know, it's that adoption is more than just filling the crib. You know, it's not about me. And that's what one thing that I learned very early on is that motherhood is not about me. And it wasn't about our children's birth moms either. Their first choice to make an adoption plan, they were putting the need of their children. They have a hope and for a future that they felt that they could not provide. And so their first act of motherhood was not about them, because for them it's a loss, and they're making that placement into a home with a mom and a dad, that it's about the child's needs. So that part, the unselfish part, is not about me. And the part about not being cut flowers, I learned that the roots of our children are so important. I think it was a few years ago when our son, who was about two years ago, had not remembered seeing his birth mom for a while. And he said, I haven't seen her. I don't know. I've never seen her. And I said, oh, no, look, honey, let's look at the pictures. And he started expressing the grief that he had for, in his memory, never seeing her. And it had been a while since we had seen each other, but he was not comforted by the pictures. He insisted that he had not seen her, that he had not met her, and that he must have been blind that he had seen her, which meant that he had no memory of meeting her and being with her. So it became very, very, I was very motivated to get a reunion together. It had been a while, like I said, several years since we had really seen each other. We had had communication by phone, but we hadn't seen each other for a while. So we finally got together, and it was amazing to me at what happened at that reunion. We had a time, we spent the whole afternoon with her and her husband, her husband and her daughter. This daughter is a half sibling to our son, and the connection and the healing and the reassurance of that connection was so important for our son. It was like after that afternoon, there was like a settling down in his spirit. He was anxious, very anxious for a very, like it was growing, his anxiety was growing around his adoption and realizing that his first mother was not in his life in the way that he really needed her. And this reunion that we had was a way of him being reassured that she was there. Maybe not on a day-to-day, you know, tuck you into bed kind of way, but that her love was real, that she was a presence in his life and continues to be a presence in his life, and that he is still welcome in her life, and that she is welcome in his life. And that was just really a big eye-opener for us. So I think that's one of the things that I learned in a fresh way. I had seen it along the way with our daughter, but we had had more regular communication with our daughter's birth mother and birth family, that it wasn't so dramatic of a need as it was with our son. So I came to this understanding that when we esteem our children's roots, we are actually esteeming our children. And I am such an advocate for open adoption. I can't imagine how it would be for our children if our adoptions were not open. My heart just shudders to think what that would be like. In fact, I'm talking a lot here, but I am thinking of one. I had heard this, an adult adopted person say that she had had a great adoption growing up. She had a great family life, but growing up in her house was like growing up, and it was a closed adoption, so she didn't know her birth family. Growing up in her family was like growing in a house without any mirrors. And that really struck me. It's like, wow, what would that be like? You know, when I take it for granted, when I look at a picture in our hallway and I see a picture of my grandmother, I can see in her eyes my eyes and her smile. Oh, you know, and I have her nose, or, you know, I have my mom's nose, or my dad's, the twinkle in his eye, you know, and those things I see myself. I am capturing a bit of my identity in the portraits that come from before. And with a closed adoption, there's not that privilege. There's not that, you don't get that. So anyway, that's something that I've learned.
Beautiful. And, you know, as I was hearing you share, I had written a piece that's not published. Nobody has really seen it, and I didn't know this was going to come out today. But when you talked about children are not cut flowers, and, you know, that is a huge, incredible lesson learned, I think, even as, you know, looking at your book and about the grafting and all of that, right? We're so much more than that.
Right.
And
right.
I had written a piece called I Am Not, well, basically, I don't even have a title for it, but basically the premise of it is I am not a soap plant in my own home. I need more, you know, please don't look at me as a soap plant, I am real. And oftentimes, and I think an adoptee can feel that way, and the gift that you were able to give your son by having your reunion experience when he asked for it is an incredible gift. And so I just want to say, wow, that's amazing, and thank you for having that courage and not being afraid of his roots, because that is, you know, that is an important part, and we can't grow without roots. You know, I'm also reminded of a story. We have a 2.5-acre property here in New Mexico, Colleen, and we put in over 300 trees when we first moved here. We had pretty much a bare lot, and you know, we put in these trees. They were beautiful. We got them from the nursery. They were little babies. And, you know, just not more than 6 inches tall, most of them.
Yeah.
And we planted them, you know, every 2.5 to 5 feet away from each other. And last year, we started to notice, we had gotten about, 4 feet of growth on these in the last 5 to 6 years. And last year, we noticed that a couple of the trees were leaning off to the side a little bit, and we thought, wow, that's kind of odd. I wonder what's going on. Is it the wind? What is it? Because these were evergreens, okay?
Right.
And so we went over and we started to tap on the tree a little bit and noticed it was very loose in the ground. It looked great on the outside. It looked very, very healthy. It was green, beautiful, growing, just as we expected it to grow. But it was leaning to one side. And so we tugged on it a little more, my husband did, and realized he could pull it straight out of the ground.
Wow.
Because the gophers had come in and eaten the roots completely gone. All that was left was a spear at the end.
Hmm.
and, you know, no acknowledgement of its roots. And I thought, wow, when you were just sharing about not being cut flowers and about how important those roots, totally given that picture again.
Yeah, that is great.
Plant story, as well as, you know, how important those roots are that, you know, our kiddos, we can grow up, you know, as an almost 50-year-old adoptee, I can grow up looking very beautiful, right? I can do all the right things. I can say the right things and grow. But if my roots are not acknowledged, eventually I will not be able to sustain that growth.
That's
and
right.
I will not stand strong when the winds blow, right, without those roots. And I think your beautiful book, your heart right now, the lessons that you have learned really gives validity, I think, to an adoptee. So thank you for that. That, you know, that acknowledgement coming from an adoptive mom to really acknowledge that the roots are important and, you know, that connection is important. I definitely grew up for the last, you know, 50 years in a closed adoption. And like I said, I've been very privileged because for half of my life, unlike a lot of my fellow adoptees, I have had the privilege of having a mirror now. I do have my mirror that I can hold up and look at and see resemblances. Because I'm in contact with my biological family, but so many are not. And, you know, there are so many people that I'm in contact with on a regular basis that do not have that privilege. And definitely my heart is full for each member of the tapestry that does not have that, that hasn't been able to share my experience.
Well, it's definitely a loss. It's a huge loss. It's a very huge loss, compounded on what is and loss even in the best situation of adoption. You know, it's so interesting you're talking about that tree, and right across the street from, we live in a very beautiful neighborhood with big trees and big elm trees. And in the wintertime when we had all of that rain, the ground was so saturated with water that and the roots of this certain tree in our neighbor's yard they had started to rot, and the whole tree just fell over one day, and this was like a 50-foot tree or bigger with all these branches, beautiful branches. I mean, it was just this prize tree, and it was so sad to see it just completely just topple over. And I love that we can look at parables, you know, like, I mean, that's really how Jesus taught, is through parables and looking at things that God created to teach us stories about, the important stories that couldn't be absorbed or learned any other way. And I just think that, you know, this story of Little Tree, I can go back to this story that was written 20 years ago and now see that the importance is not just about the grafting that happens, but now what I'm seeing is that, you know, what is happening under the surface of what is happening underground? What is happening to the structure of the tree with the roots? What can we do to make the orchard a healthy place? It's kind of like the calling that I have right now. And I guess I'm so delighted to be able to be working for Bethany, because Bethany is a ministry. It's not just a business. When I sit around in staff meetings, we sit around to try to figure out how can we serve women and families better. And things like post-adoption support are so vital. I heard this great illustration I went to the Christian Alliance for Orphans Summit just a couple weeks ago in Chicago, and there was Andrew Schneidler, who wrote, he's part of the, he's an adoptive dad, and he was the originator of the Permanence Project, which he's very involved with foster care. But he said something that was so great. He gave this illustration of this peer, that being, a lot of times couples find themselves on the end of this big pier, and their whole church community is all saying, like, jump, 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 jump into adoption, you know, and do it, do it. And so the person jumps into this water, and it's icy cold, and he starts to drown. He realizes that he doesn't know how to swim, and the whole community doesn't is silent, and they don't know what to do. They're standing at the edge of the shore, and nobody's jumping in to help them. And he's like, well, why aren't you coming to, why isn't anyone helping? And somebody steps forward and says, because all we know how to do is say jump. And I love that because it's like, I applied that in several different ways. Not only does the adoption community or the our church community or culture, they'll tell infertile couples, oh, you should just adopt. And then when there's an adoption, when you go forward, sometimes you're left not knowing how to navigate this very new way of building families with all the complications and the, you know, there's some issues that have to be navigated and supported. And so things like the post-adoption support is super, super, super important. And then I think about women who are faced with unplanned pregnancies. And everyone is so, the pro-life community, which of which I'm a part of, will say, you know, jump, 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 you choose life, choose life, choose life. And yet I have this, you know, nagging question that's sobering. It's like, well, what happens when a woman either chooses to parent or she chooses to place her child for adoption? What, where is the church then? Is the church welcoming this woman that makes that life choice? And are we wrapping around to give her the support that she needs no matter what life-affirming choice she makes? I think, and I look in our church and I think, where are the birth mothers in our church? And why is it that only one woman out of every 200 women will make an adoption plan when she's pregnant? Is it because it, there's no place for a woman who makes an adoption plan in the church and in our culture? Those are the things that keep me up at night. I think about that. How can we bring honor to women that choose life for their children? And what would that look like? Is every, I'm not saying that everyone is called to adoption, that's for sure. I just have a strong feeling that we as a church and a culture really need to provide that kind of love and care and support for women so that they can feel good about making life-affirming choices, that they can parent or they can choose a family in adoption to parent. So I don't know. That's my soapbox. Those are the things that keep me up at night. And I'm really just driven to think, how can we make the orchard of adoption this, how can we make this a healthier place, you know?
Oh, right. I love that. And I just so appreciate your heart and your willingness to share so openly with us here. And, you know, we definitely have a similar heartbeat. And I think I'm often just reminded also about the different challenges within the tapestry of adoption. And, you know, that's kind of what I do, is I really help people to find those threads, figure it out. How can we make this a safe place for
right.
everyone, so no one has to stay in that closet and not talk about really what's going on? Because when a family, because it's, you know, it's not just the mom, right? It's not just the birth mom. There are dads involved too, or there wouldn't be.
Absolutely, yes.
Involved.
And
okay, and
we
so
need to talk more about that too, right?
We do need to talk more about that. And I think one thing that we can remember, when a woman chooses a sustaining life decision, whether they, you know, I mean, what all of that encompasses, right? That could be another whole show. That maybe we need to have you back, Colleen, and we can talk more about that. But what does life
sure.
really look like when that decision is made? And I think that's something over the years that has not been explored to the depth that it could be. And
right.
I'm all about that right now. It's like, really, when you do choose life, what does that look like for you? And what's the ripple effect of that? Because we are not cut flowers. None of us are. We're not silk plants in our home. None of us are. We all have incredible roots that need to be honored, cherished, and held sacred for each other so we can grow healthy, so we don't get blown over in the wind. And I think that's why that portion of your book, A Gift for Little Tree, resonated with me so much, when the farmer and said, I'm the one who planted you. I have not forgotten you. And the only reason Little Tree could lift its branches high and in a mighty, steadfast way was because the roots were there. And the roots are what sustains us. And I think, you know, that definitely resonates deeply with me about we cannot forget that. And, you know, just really you being on here with me today and being able to share openly about this. You know, Colleen, a lot of people have been talking. We're not the first ones to have these conversations. You know,
right.
This has been going on for years. And a lot of it's not been brought, you know, forth the attention that it deserves. And that's why there are so many that are hurting and grieving, because the grieving process for the tapestry of adoption is very real. There are tears involved. And for those of us who have a real passion, you know, I want to call us together. You know, contact me, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Through Talk Coach. Please let me hear your voice. So I invite you to reach out to me. And I know Colleen welcomes that as well. You can reach out to her, and we're going to give you our contact information here in a moment. Colleen, we're at the top of the hour. I would love it if you could share maybe some closing thoughts. You've shared so much with us already today, but what, you know, as I have you on Walk Through Talk with Leanne, tell us a little bit about the talk that you want to walk out, you know, even this summer in your own life, or what thoughts do you have for our listeners?
You know, I was just thinking about, I would love people's input to look at this parable of adoption. And I would just invite people to pray about and think about and give me feedback about, to continue this discussion about what can we do to make our orchard of adoption a healthier place. I would love people to communicate with me about that as we go forward. Who knows? Maybe there'll be another book that comes out in another 20 years from now, because, you know, that's how long it takes. But I really think that it takes an orchard to raise an apple, and I would love to hear from the orchard. So that would be my invitation to people. And just to pray about this orchard of adoption and how, and as you say, the tapestry of adoption, the voices that we just need to hear more voices and so that we can be intentional about how this orchard is tended.
Absolutely. I love that. And so how can our listeners get in touch with you, Colleen, if they have thoughts or questions or comments for you?
Well, you can reach me on my Bethany email, which is cmarquez@bethany.org. If you want to see Bethany's website for women who are faced with unplanned pregnancy, it's a really beautiful site, and there's great resources for anyone who has that need. And I would invite them to look at adoptionplace.org, which is a tremendous resource. We also have interim care for women to slow down the adoption process if for a woman that is feeling like she wants to explore adoption, but her baby comes so quickly, she doesn't have to make that decision right away. And then for those people who haven't seen my book and who would like to, you could go to giftforlittletree.com and take a peek at that. There's a little video on there that talks about how this book came to be. And, yeah, that's my contact information.
Beautiful. Thank you, Colleen. And I, too, Leanne Parsons, the Walk Through Talk Coach, want to encourage you listeners, get a hold of this book, A Gift for Little Tree. It's a beautiful parable about adoption and about love and about purpose. And I know I really enjoy it. I encourage you, to each of you, to reach out and look for this book. And you can reach me at walkyourtalkwithleanne.com. Also, the Walk Through Talk Coach.com is soon to be launched here. I do have a new website coming, and I encourage you to keep an eye out for that. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Leanne the Coach. And I am very, very privileged, Colleen, to have you with me today. I definitely want to have you back and continue this conversation about the tapestry, about the orchard, because there is so much more to explore here. And thank you for sharing your voice as a mom an incredible heart, and as a woman who walks in integrity in her life and really is just like me in the fact that I'm not afraid to hear the voices. So thank you for not being afraid to hear my voice and for sharing your voice here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Leanne. Well, it's been mine, and I just thank you so much. So God bless you and the work that you do, and I look forward to talking again.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for joining me here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. Until next time, please don't be afraid to live the legacy today you want to leave for tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining me here.